So what I do is leave the brochure on the kitchen table when no one's home. Now that's only half of the conversation. Leading up to that part of the conversation, someone asked the question, how did you become the best door-to-door home security salesman? I leave the brochure on the kitchen table when no one's home, in case you didn't remember. So when you hear only half the conversation, it doesn't make much sense. One author describes the letters, such as Paul writes, as one side of the conversation. We only have the words of Paul and what he has to say. Within the church at Corinth, we become aware that there is dissension and there is disunity. Therefore, it's required of Paul the task of mending. Amongst the division, amongst the turmoil, his task is to restore, to renew the relationships amongst the people. The city of Corinth was located in the southern part of Greece. It is set on a very narrow isthmus, only a few miles wide. And so it became a great trading and commercial center because of that location, of the people traveling between the seas. A canal runs through there in our day in order for people to avoid sailing around the southern cape. There became an expression to live like a Corinthian. That is one who would live lavishly in their wealth and in their luxury. And they were known of lives filled with debauchery. So you can imagine Paul writing to them, wondering what he would do with these people. But his letters are written, or more likely, they're dictated. One of the things about Paul's letters in particular is that there are sentences that begin and never seem to end as he's sharing his points and his thoughts and his ideas. There is no punctuation during that day. That was added later. Therefore, the result were these long, complicated sentences and complicated sentence structure. But as we decipher these, we realize the letters are directed toward an immediate situation. And we learn that Paul himself experienced personal distress and anguish and grief with the early Christians in the city of Corinth. Part of his writings to the Corinthians were known as the severe letter. The severe letter. But those writings were followed by news of reconciliation, of the mending that had taken place. The idea of knitting together broken bones so that there would be healing. So Paul tells of the existence of the disputes, the schism, as if a garment had just been torn apart. So it was with the people of Corinth. We deal with disputes in our lives all the time. One man became involved in a legal dispute when he tried to sneak his own snacks, candy, and soda into the movies. And he got caught. So he was taken to court by the movie theater. He was charged, took his case to court, and there he lost. But then as he looked back on it, he realized that the court fees and the legal fees, well, when he counted them all out, he still came ahead of what it would have cost to buy his snacks and his... But so we get involved with these disputes that take place. And in this particular one, the people of Corinth were referring to great figures of the early church. There is no dissension that we know of, particularly between these individuals. But their names were used to support positions of the different factions that existed amongst the congregation, that existed amongst the people. There were those who said, "Well, I belong to Paul." Those who were part, we believe, of the Gentile party, the Gentile community, do not recognize the law, the legal positions, the Jewish traditions of the past, those of which Paul himself had been a part of, as he was known as Saul. But it is also likely that they used that liberty and their freedom to excuse any of all actions perhaps involved in this debauchery of living like a Corinthian. And maybe they were selfish with their wealth. But the message of Paul is always consistent, that yes, you are saved. Not to be freed to sin, but saved so you're free not to sin. There were also others who said, "I belong to Apollos." You may not know much about Apollos, but he was a Jew from Egypt, from Alexandria. He was an African who was well versed in the scriptures and the traditions. But it's believed that his effort became too intellectual, that he became more of a philosophy. And then those who said, "I belong to Cephas," to Peter. Those were the Christians who still observed the laws and perhaps used the laws to diminish the good news of grace. The emphasis was on the actions of the individual, not the actions taken by God, as seen through Jesus. And then the fourth group who would say, "I belong to Christ," which seems rather obvious after all. But the danger of that was a claim that they were the true Christians. As a result, they were intolerant of others and self-righteous. Christ belonged to them, not they to Christ. If we think about it, forms of such factions as these exist today. Not just in Christianity as a whole, but exist within congregations, amongst ourselves. I understand that our faith and our beliefs are extremely personal. We have been influenced by many people that we respect. Those who have taught us, have guided us through our lives. And so it's difficult, perhaps, for those positions and those thoughts to be challenged. But the conflict rises when we impose positions on others. And that the exclusion of others is determined by a set of standards. And perhaps these standards are not recognized by all. There is division when one faction or another points to others as being wrong. When I interact with fellow Christians, it is very unlikely that I would take a position of others being wrong. But I would take a position that their beliefs or their understandings were not for me. There are many Christian voices that you may hear that do not speak for me. This is the comic of the sheep together, and they're talking about their shepherds, and one says, "Don't get me wrong, I love our shepherd. It's just that I prefer a different style of herding." different styles. One time I was going out of the house and I said to Allison, I said, where are my keys? She said, did you check your pocket? I said, yes. She said, did you check all of them? Oh. Among Christianity, there are many pockets. And maybe in one of those pockets are the keys for you. In the very introduction in his writing to the Corinthians, Paul makes it clear that he's writing to the church of God. This one happens to be in Corinth. And there are differences amongst them. But those differences were to be addressed. And they were to be mended. They were to be knit together and united. Even though they may not be of common thought, they're still part of the church of God. And so Paul begins his letters writing about thanksgiving and praising the people of Corinth and praising God of the promises that had come true, the gifts that have been shared, gifts of salvation, the gifts that had been given so that they could be of service to one another. Thanksgiving and praise for the day of the Lord. It is the day of the Lord that we celebrate. We celebrate that each and every new day.